Wendy Harmer on ABC Radio Sydney.
Dr. Louisa Willoughby joins us. She's a senior lecturer in linguistics at the School of Languages and Literature and Culture at Monash University. Hello there, Louisa. Thanks for joining us this morning. I appreciate you dropping by.
Thank you, Wendy.
We were talking about this yesterday. We had a lecturer on at the Sydney Art Gallery, a talk, and it was all about why so few of us learn languages and really the dearth of language teaching in our schools. So what we thought we would do this morning, there was quite a lot of interest in this, was ask someone like your good self the best way to go about learning a language. And certainly now that the Prime Minister has said that part of the citizenship test will be that you have to have a proficiency in English, it's a pretty timely discussion. So let's start with a lot of people say, of course, that learning a language when you're very, very young is the best place to start. Would you agree with that?
I think it's a good place to start, but it's absolutely never too late. And there are some ways that adults make better learners than little kids too.
That's what we want to hear. You can teach an old dog new tricks. All right, so let's talk about why in some instances older learners can do just as well or even better than little ones.
Well, really, it's like anything that as an adult you know about the world, you know how to study, you know you're just learning a new way of conceiving the world. You don't have to know what colours are. You just have to learn the new words for them. So we're often much quicker to start learning as an adult than a little kid.
And what's the best way to do that? Should I go off to a class? How good are the apps that I can get on my phone or the online courses that I can do? Would you recommend any one version over another? Any one method rather over another?
Look, I think there's lots and lots of good stuff with apps and classes, but really what works with learning a language is interacting with real people who have to understand what you're trying to say and who will help you or ask for clarification if something's not clear.
Uh-huh. So that would be in a small class or at least, I suppose.
Yeah, but also things like going out into the world, trying to use it in a restaurant to order food like your son is maybe doing with Japanese, or finding someone online who you can talk to who speaks that language, do a language swap, things like that.
So, oh, no, tell me about that. A language, did you say a language swap?
Yeah. So there's lots of places you can go online or maybe just through friends you might already know where people will say, okay, we'll do a language exchange. So we'll have a Skype phone call and one time we'll speak my language and then the next time we speak your language.
Okay. So you can actually go online and find yourself a partner.
Yeah.
I didn't know that. That sounds like a really good idea.
Yeah. It's one of the best things to really get a chance to use the language authentically rather than just sort of learning a few set phrases.
Mm-hmm. Excuse me. What about the idea, Louisa? You know, we talk about immersion, that do you just sort of chuck yourself in the deep end? How much of the language should you really have under your belt before you attempt that, do you think?
That depends a little bit on how old you are. So little kids up to about the age of 10 will often do really well with that, just not knowing any language. If you take them two friends moved to China for work and the kids just picked up Chinese like that. But adults can't do that. There's things that happen to our brain in puberty that mean if we're just chucked in the deep end, we've got no hope. So we need to learn a bit of vocabulary, a bit of grammar beforehand. So I'd say study for at least a year before you try and attempt that to be effective.
Well, I would love, I'd love to have people give me a call on this one about how you went learning a language as a, as an adult, particularly. I'm not really talking about the kids at school so much. We were yakking about that yesterday, but as a grown-up person.
Call Wendy now on 1300 222 702.
And here's an interesting tip. Steve says, I have found the best way to learn a new language is to change the Facebook language settings to your new language. How about that? I never thought of that.
Yeah, that's a great one. Yeah, and again, it's authentic.
Yeah. Yes, it is. You've got to actually get in there and give it a red hot go, otherwise you're getting no information from any of your friends and they all hate you. So you've got to try doing that. So what are the other options that I've got here? What about apps? What are they like? Are they useful devices?
They can be really, really good, particularly because you can pick it up and do it for 5 minutes while you're waiting for a bus or waiting for your kids, picking up kids from school, something like that. They do vary in quality a little bit, though, so you need to look around and find one that works well for the particular language you want to learn.
Uh-huh. And what about something like a summer holiday language camp? You know, you might go over to Italy or something like that and nurse yourself for 3 months. Is that worth doing? Do you actually come out any the wiser?
I think often they can be really, really useful, but you need to have a long-term project of learning the language. So if you just go for 3 months, yeah, it's not going to be long enough to get fluent. And sometimes people can sort of think that exchanges or things like that are going to be magic and that they'll get completely fluent. So they can be a really good boost, but they're not going to take you from zero to hero. Yeah. So you need to have that in mind.
Okay. And tell me about the courses that are available in most cities and towns these days, Louisa. Well, perhaps some towns might be a little bit more difficult, but how do I go about finding a course?
Look, there are lots of different places. Your local community centres or local TAFEs will probably have some short courses in languages. Often for the major languages too, there'll be something like an Alliance Francaise or a Goethe Institute that will cover all of those things for you. Yeah. For that particular language.
And what are we looking at cost?
They can really vary in price. The community centres might only be $100 or even less for a term, but the courses with something like the Alliance Francaise are generally a few $100s for the term, but it will depend a bit whether they're, how many hours per week they are.
Yeah. Okay. I have a text here. Hi, Wendy. I live in Hokkaido. Hello there. And I'm the only Westerner in the village. I'm the only Westerner in the village. I love that. But own a business in a large international ski resort. The best way to learn is just get amongst it. And that's Cameron at Kiroro. Thank you very much for that, Cameron. And let's talk to Pear, is it? Hello there. Welcome. And what's your experience here?
It's Pearl, is it?
Pearl.
Yeah.
Oh, there was an L left off. I'm thinking Pear. That's an unusual name. I've heard Apple, I've heard Plum, but I haven't heard Pear. But Pearl, what a brilliant name.
Yeah, it works for you. Anyway, in my mid-60s, my husband kept raving on about how when you're older you should do something with your brain.
Yep.
So to shut him up, I decided to learn Hebrew, which is his native language. I did it online.
Oh, right.
And they didn't know that I was, I've got MS as well, so I didn't tell them that until I finished the course. So it was really good because they gave me genuine feedback and says I did very well and all the rest of it.
So there you were. You were 60 years old and you got MS and you learnt Hebrew.
Yeah.
Well, so you picked the easiest thing you could think of, did you?
Yeah.
Pearl, that is fantastic. I am so impressed.
Well, it's just still, I was in my mid-60s and it's still possible, of course, to learn as you get older.
Yeah, yeah. And how impressed was the husband?
Oh, he's always impressed with me.
Well, that's good. You keep hold of him then. That's excellent. Good on you, Pearl. Thank you for that. And Josephine, what about you, Josephine? What do you think here?
Hi, Wendy. I just wanted to share that I do conversational English through a church community.
Oh, yeah.
And we have people come and just for conversation. And we share stories and all that. And often I give them a scenario which we role play, that they've gone to a shop to buy whatever they've gone to buy and name them.
Yep.
And go to the station to buy a ticket, name where you're going, where yep. you want to go and how much. And I find a lot of the people are happy to be engaged, but they find it very hard then to speak English at home, which is a big drawback.
Uh-huh. So what age are you getting in your group then?
Probably from about in their 20s to about 50s and even 60s.
And why are they unable to then speak English in the home?
Because they find it very hard with their families. These are mainly women who come
yes.
to it.
Yeah.
And, of course, when they go home within their family, only their language is spoken. And I try to encourage them to speak at least 1 hour a day, get everyone to speak English in the home, which is not an easy task.
Are these any particular nationalities?
The ones mainly that come to this one because of the area we're in would be of Chinese.
Uh-huh. So it's the Chinese is being preserved in the home as sort of the language of the family.
That's right.
Yeah,
that's
yeah. Right. It is an interesting one. What do you think about this, Josephine, of the Prime Minister saying that people should be much more fluent in English than they are now to gain citizenship? Do you think that's a good idea? Okay, and can you see obstacles?
Well, I guess I can see obstacles, but in a way, it will probably make people get more involved and want to learn the language more than they do now.
Yeah.
Because some of the people I come across have been in this country for many years and have very little English.
Mm.
So that means they haven't made any progress in
going out
into the community.
Yeah,
you know?
Quite right. It can be really isolating too. Thank you. And what do you think, Louisa? I'm with Dr. Louisa Willoughby here. She's a senior lecturer in linguistics at the School of Language, Literature, Culture and Linguistics at Monash University. We may have over-egged the pudding on this one. You are so qualified here, Louisa. What do you think of the Prime Minister's entreaty here for people to be more fluent with English?
Look, I think there are very few people who live in Australia who don't want to speak English well.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm always a bit scared around things where we try and restrict citizenship to people based on their English levels, because I think a lot of the time, you know, learning a new language is a really, really, really hard thing. And particularly if you've come from a place, like if you've been a refugee who's had really interrupted schooling, we know that if you never became literate in your first language, it's so difficult to become literate in a second language.
Yeah.
So it's something that can be a little bit of a slippery slope, that if you set the bar too high, you can end up excluding people who really are doing the very best that they could be expected to do.
Yeah, that's a very good insight, I must say. Let's talk to Andy. How did you get on, Andy?
Hi, Wendy. I decided to just make some money, because I heard you could make some money teaching English and Japanese, and I flew over to Japan. I couldn't read, write, or speak the language, and total immersion. And I just want to make a quick comment about total immersion. It is an absolute sensory overload. I want to put that up as a caution. When you do that, when you can't, and particularly I was in my mid-30s, I found that the sensory overload, because I couldn't understand what I was seeing, and yet you're on a bus, you're on a train, and you can read everything in terms of the symbols, but it doesn't make sense to you.
Yeah.
And it really does drain you significantly. So if you do choose to go and do total immersion, be aware of the sensory overload it's going to have on you. For me personally, I had no one there I could talk to. It was an impulse by me to go there. And I went there for 3 years, had a fantastic time, loved every minute of it, and it was the most wonderful experience of my time. and at the end of the day made more money than I've ever made in my life. So
Andy,
it was a wonderful experience.
Andy, what do you mean by beware the sensory overload? How did it make you feel?
You felt, because I was literally by myself, I couldn't understand, and I don't know if it's a male thing or not, I couldn't understand the signals. I couldn't understand where this was and what that meant because I had no understanding of the language. I couldn't read or understand what those signals and that communication was. Yeah. So I couldn't communicate to myself what to do and how to go about it.
Yeah.
And it is something that it drains you emotionally, which makes you tired. So then you get up and do the same thing again. It really does drain you as an individual because you're committed emotionally to what you're doing.
Yeah, I can imagine. Okay, well, thanks. That's an interesting one. I hadn't really thought of that one. Mark joins us. Hello, Mark.
Hi, Robbie.
You recently retired, and have you decided to get stuck into a language, Mark?
No. I guess for my sins, I decided I'd try to do what I have spent my whole career doing, which is encourage kids to learn a second language. And when I turned around and started learning Spanish, I applied myself to Japanese, and then more recently Spanish. It was really interesting as an adult to see what the process is again, even though as a teacher you know the theory behind it and you're in the classroom battling with the reality every day with adolescents, it really reminds you how long it takes to learn a second language. And I would say to your listeners and anyone thinking they're going to learn a second language, just give yourself 5 years. Right?
Gosh, five years.
And that's what puts people off. You know, as soon as you say that, people laugh and they say, oh, no, I can do that. But if they don't do that, what happens is they become very discouraged very quickly.
Yeah.
And they give up. And then people say, oh, I can't learn a language, I'm hopeless. Because they gave themselves 10 minutes, relatively speaking.
Yeah.
I'm 2 years into my current language, which is Indonesian, for example.
Yeah.
And, you know, I can sort of make a meal of almost anything at the moment. But I can have a go at it. I'm making progress, but I know I've got another couple of years ahead.
All right. Well, let's bring Dr. Louisa in here. What do you think about that? 5 years, Louisa?
Look, I think absolutely. Language learning takes a lot of time. We often talk about, you know, that you need 1,000 hours of exposure using the language in sort of communicative context to really be, you know, call yourself fluent in it. So these are long-term projects, but they're immensely rewarding projects too.
All right, Mark, well, it sounds like you're being rewarded by your project. Thanks for calling.
Yeah. And if I can say one more thing, it's really that, like what was mentioned before, I think by Louise, that if it's real activity, like with real people in real time, even if it's through a WhatsApp conversation where you're tapping out a message to someone real at the other end, I've found that really makes sense in my mind for what I'm trying to learn and accelerates my progress. Whereas if I'm just doing it from the textbook, no matter what way it is coming to me, it never quite seems to gel as quickly. But as soon as you need to say to someone at the other end, you know, the weather's become cloudy and all of a sudden you have no idea how to say it, you learn it and it's real.
Right.
So that would be another recommendation.
All right. Well, thank you very much for that. Thanks for joining the conversation there. I think we've got time for a couple more calls. Michelle. Hi, Michelle.
Hi, Wendy. How are you?
Good. Thank you. I should say,
très bien. Yeah, well, if I could remember, I'd respond. But I tried to teach myself French with my son, who was doing his HSC at the time. And we downloaded this fabulous app. It was amazing. It's a very good app, and it has a whole lot of different languages on it. But I would, you know, practice on the app, and then I'd toddle up to my coffee shop where the beautiful barista up there was French, and I'd try to practice, you know, what I'd learned, and she would be constantly correcting me because I just couldn't quite get it right. But it gave me such an appreciation for a person who I was tutoring, because my first language is actually sign language, and I was tutoring this young girl who was wanting to become a sign language interpreter, and she, you know, would say to her, come on, you know, you can do it. And you're like, oh, it's so hard, it's such a struggle. And when I actually had a go at trying to learn French, it just gave me such an appreciation for how difficult it really is.
Yeah,
and I don't know whether French is a particularly difficult language to learn, but I just couldn't retain it. And I struggled so much with the feminine and the masculine that I ended up giving up.
Sorry to hear that. I'm sorry to hear that. Je désolé. I think that's the one I'm supposed to say there. Hey, Louise, do you reckon you can learn a language without learning the grammar and all that business?
You can. Basically, you can put off learning the grammar, but you're going to have to learn at some stage as an adult.
All right, okay. Well, I will quickly go to Jeff for one last call here because we've got Mr. Richard Feidler on the line there. I think he might be pretty good at French, actually, but we'll quickly talk to Jeff. Hi, Jeff.
Hey, Wendy, how are you going?
Good. How's your Italian coming along?
Slowly. I love the idea of 5 years. Both my wife and I have got Italian heritage, but Australian-born, and we're just very enthusiastic Italophiles. We go to Italy every year.
Because we go together,
obviously we speak English together, and then we have a little bit of Italian with waiters and people we meet and stuff. But I think you really do need something where you have a regular opportunity to have conversation.
Sure, yeah.
And we've been doing courses and everything, and we, you know, like, yes, I can sort of read a fair bit of it and understand it, but when it comes to someone talking to me, I just panic. And I instantly, someone said something to me the other day, like, how are you? Something really simple. I just panicked. I didn't know what to say.
Oh, listen, Jeff, look, did you hear one of our, Louisa rather, earlier saying that you can find someone online where you can swap time on Skype?
Oh, that looks great. Yeah. How do I find that?
Well, Louisa, I'll let Louisa tell you before she has to whiz off. Louisa, tell Jeff.
Look, it can be different for different languages, so I would try just Googling things like language exchange with whichever language you're interested in.
Language exchange,
language partners, things like that, and hopefully you'll be able to find a website that will do that for you
for
Italian.
There you go, Jeff.
Thanks very much.
You're welcome. Dr. Louisa Willoughby, we'll let you go. Louisa is from Monash Uni, a senior lecturer in linguistics. Thanks, Louisa.
Thank you, Wendy.
See you later. Bye. And I got a note here from the wonderful Todd McKenney. He says, I've learnt sign language. It's taken me 10 years to be fluent. It's so rewarding, though.
Wendy Harmer on ABC Radio Sydney.